Welcome to episode 523 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Philippians 1 verses 15 to 17. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. In his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul acknowledges that it's possible to preach Christ with wrong motivations. Some people were jealous of Paul's popularity among Christians, so they mimicked his message in order to become more popular themselves. Based on the persecution Paul and others suffered for their faith, this was clearly not a common motivator. Others saw Paul as a rival or as competition and sought to become more popular through their own preaching outreach. It's also possible that those who hated Paul's message were deliberately spreading it in order to inflame his enemies. For some, there may be a strong temptation to be like Paul's opponents in Philippians 1 verse 17 and operate in a spirit of selfish ambition, looking to advance one's own agenda. Another version of this verse says, those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. This approach is countered by counting others more significant than yourselves. Paul realizes that everyone naturally looks out for his or her own interests. The key is to take that same level of concern and apply it also to the interests of others. Such radical love is rare, so Paul proceeds to show its supreme reality in the life of Christ. Philippians 2 verses 3 to 11. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This passage is often referred to as the hymn of Christ. Paul depicts Christ's example of service in a stirring poem that traces his pre-existence, incarnation, death, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of God. Paul wrote this magnificent theology to encourage the Philippians to consider other people's interests first. Jesus is the paradigm of genuine spiritual progress, not a self-aggrandizing struggle for supremacy, but a deep love for God and neighbor shown in deeds of service. Philippians 2 verses 6 to 11 evidence some clear indications of poetic structure, leading some to believe that this is a pre-Pauline poem or hymn adapted by Paul. It is just as likely, however, that Paul composed the hymn for this setting. In view of this myriad theological questions that arise in these verses, it is critical to keep two things in mind. One, these verses were written not to spur Christians to theological debate, but to encourage greater humility and love. And two, the summary of Christ's life and ministry found here is not unique. The same themes are evident throughout the New Testament. Paul begins Philippians 2 with these words, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." Following his focus on unity in the previous verse, Paul commands his readers to avoid acting in greediness or dishonesty. His goal is to remove focus from self to others. In this, Paul takes a slightly different approach from Christ's statement to love your neighbor as yourself. Instead, he first addresses the motives of wrongful ambition and pride. When these drive our decisions, love and unity are not our true goals. Instead, Paul teaches that Christians ought to treat the needs of others as more important than our own, and other people as greater than us. By putting the needs of others first, believers pursue the kind of humility that leads to mutual love and unity. The emphasis is not on self, but on others. When this is achieved, the overall goal for humility is also met. Paul will continue this area of teaching by connecting it with the example of Jesus in the following verses, the verses that become the focal point of the hymn of Christ. Those who put others first exhibit Christ-like character through love and unity. The believer's mind needs to reflect on the proper model if life is to be lived for God. There is some debate as to whether this mindset is something Christians receive by virtue of being united to Christ. The English Standard Version says, "Which is yours in Christ Jesus?" Others speculate whether it is to be based on the model of Christ. The King James Version says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The Greek has no verb. Either is or was has to be supplied. In light of the consistent theme of behavior modeling in this letter, Jesus, Paul, Timothy, and others are held out as examples. Many interpreters have adopted the latter meaning. Both ideas are theologically true. In either case, the central theme of Philippians 2 verses 1 to 5 is the same, that the Philippian church, and indeed also us today, would be of one mind, united by love and humility, and looking out for the interests of others. Prior to the incarnation, Christ was in the form of God. Despite the assertion of some scholars to the contrary, this most naturally refers to the pre-existence of Christ. He, the eternal Son, was there with the Father before he was born in Bethlehem. Form here means the true and exact nature of something, possessing all the characteristics and qualities of something. Therefore, having the form of God is roughly equivalent to having equality with God, and it is directly contrasted with having the form of a servant. The Son of God is, and always has been, God. Form could also be a reference to Christ being the ultimate image of God, the exact imprint of his nature, as we read about in Hebrews 1 verse 3. It might also refer to the fact that he is the visible expression of God's invisible glory, as Paul discusses in Colossians 1 verse 15. Remarkably, Christ did not imagine that having equality with God, which he already possessed, should lead him to hold on to his privileges at all costs. It was not something to be grasped, to be kept, and exploited for his own benefit or advantage. Instead, he had a mindset of service. Christ did not please himself, according to Romans 15 verse 3. In humility, he counted the interests of others as more significant than his own. As we put away our selfish ambitions, our conceit, and our tendencies to be high-minded and self-absorbed, we will naturally have a greater concern for the interests and needs of others. If we consider the King James Version, in which we read, "Let this mind be in you," it seems to suggest that it is something that we have choice about. This mind is something granted to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says that we have the mind of Christ. But this mind shows us that it is also something we must choose to walk in. We have to let it be so. Christ did not empty himself of his deity or any of his attributes or of his equality with God. He emptied himself into the form of a servant, not merely the form of a man. He who was the ruler of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, humbled himself so that he could serve. This is indeed peculiar. How many kings would set aside their privileges to minister to their subjects? It is this example that we ought to follow. If Jesus could commit his life to service, what about us? Father, give us humility to serve as you have called us to serve. May our love for others spur us to good works. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.